Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. Today we're going to be talking about ways to scale your STR portfolio, the financing addition side, meaning we're going to be talking about all things financing and understanding the options out there so that we know what we can do, when we should do it for our financing. Now, I am going to do kind of like a series of this over the next few weeks about ways to scale your portfolio with, obviously, this one is financing. The next one's going to be acquisition. The one after that's going to be about operations and scaling, creating systems and processes. And so, but all of these different pieces are going to come tie together into scaling, and we have to master them, or at least know what the best options are out there and how to do these things when it comes time to do them. Because I feel like a lot of people guess on how to scale, and it hurts and can inhibit their ability to actually scale and grow when they could be making moves, or maybe they should be making moves and they're trying to make moves. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, but on the financing piece. So when I say financing, I'm meaning, you know, the types of loans that you're going to take out. Obviously, I'm not a big proponent of going in and buying properties with all cash. Nothing wrong with that. Just, I believe in leveraging your capital available to you so that you can go out and essentially kind of de-risk. Meaning, if you dump all of your money into one property, yes, you don't have a mortgage payment. But if something happens to that property, meaning whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's regulations that come into play, maybe an angry neighbor, any of these things can happen to a particular property, and it actually can hurt the well-being and the performance of that property, you're kind of screwed. Yes, you don't have any monthly payments, but you still got to do the utilities. You still have to pay taxes and other things. And there's something to really offset that. So a lot of people agree with this. They understand, okay, yes, I probably need to take and not dump all my dollars into one property, but invest it, you know, into multiple properties. However, most people aren't even in that situation to begin with, right? We don't start with hundreds of thousands of dollars to potentially invest into a single property. And so we're forced to finance anyway. And so that kind of leads, most people fall in, which everyone should go into the step two of, okay, great. I have the opportunity to finance properties. What is out there? What can I do? And I've already had two different lenders on, actually, spoiler alert, the second lender is coming on this Friday. And they've talked about different types of loan products. I'm not really going to go into much detail about each one of these, but I do want you to understand the high level basics, because depending on the route you go for financing can put you on a certain path, and it might put you on the wrong path, and you don't want to go down the wrong path. So let's talk a little bit about the key concepts you have to understand before you even look at particular loans. So yes, I do recommend, if you are looking at acquiring a short-term rental, especially purchasing, you go talk to a lender, okay? But talk to multiple lenders, get multiple opinions, and understand what the different rates are out there and their terms, because they can vary, and that's really important. The lenders that I have on the show, these are people that I refer and recommend, and they have awesome products, and I recommend you talk to them and listen to what they have to say as well, and you can definitely glean a lot of helpful information. But let's talk about financing, scaling, and diving into the specifics here. So let's take a couple different scenarios, because in reality, everyone listening to this, your situation is going to be different than my situation or my story or where I came from, my background, where I started, how much capital I had, and so on. So I'm going to start with kind of the basic and the most common scenario that I run into is, okay, I have been saving money and I'm ready to buy a short-term rental from saved money. Okay, not a 1031. I'm not pulling from another property. Or maybe you are pulling from another property. I think this could fit in this situation too. okay, how do I scale? What financing should I look at? So really there's two main paths that you have to do if you don't have experience, okay? If you don't have experience, you're going to either have to leverage your debt to income ratio, meaning like how much current debt you have, car payments, you know, if you have any other like student loans could be a big one too, I see. You know, obviously other house payments, your primary mortgage, any other type of debt that you have, okay? They'll take a look at that. And then they also, so let's say that your debt is total monthly debt. I'm going to use very, very basic example. Let's say total monthly debt is $5,000. So you've got a car payment, you got a mortgage, you've got maybe a student loan or some other type of credit cards also are counted into this. Okay. So you've got total $5,000 a month. Some people are probably like, I wish. Other people are like, that's a lot. It doesn't matter. So we'll say $5,000 a month. Okay. But your total income, you're making $10,000 a month. So your debt to income ratio is 50%, right? So 50% of your income is your debt. Now, when it comes to lending, the debt to income ratio can vary, but I'm going to tell you right out the gate, lenders are looking for a 40% maximum debt to income ratio. Anything over that is considered risky. So 40% is the max. We don't want to start at 40%. That's where we want to end up after we make this purchase. So if you have high debt, instead of worrying about buying a short-term rental, I would actually encourage you to lower or decrease the amount of debt that you have. Or I know this sounds crazy, this is the second option. Go get a higher paying job. Go get more income, right? Which isn't always the easiest thing to do. So focus on your debt. Get that down a little bit and then consider investing. This is another thing we talk about de-risking. But debt to income is really, really, really important. Okay. So if you have a good debt to income ratio and you're not considering buying a primary residence this year or taking out any major loans or anything for your personal life this year, you might consider a second home loan. There's different types of second home products out there. Like I said, listen to these lenders talk. They're going to talk your ear off about all the options. I'm not here to do it because I don't know everything. Okay. But I do understand the second home thing and it's very, very doable. And I see a lot of investors do it. And the beautiful part about second home loans is you can put as little as 10% down. So you're literally leveraging other people's money. So you can do a second home loan and put 10% down and buy a property, let's say $1 million property with $100,000. But remember, we have other things you have to invest in the property, like furnishings, amenities, and so on. But it gives you more buying power, assuming you get approved based on your debt to income ratio or DTI. And also you have less cash into the deal, which makes it more attractive. All right. Even though you don't have a lot of equity into the property, which is a con of doing only 10% down, and you have a higher mortgage payment because you have higher debt service. Okay. Which is same thing as mortgage payment, but you just have higher mortgage payment. So you cash a little bit less because you have a little more that you have to pay out monthly. You have less overall money into the deal and technically less risk into the deal as well. So 10% down second home loans could be a try. Now you can do 15, you could even do 20% down. But in my opinion, the only advantage to doing a 20% down second home loan is because the interest rate on that is so much better than what a commercial loan would be, okay? Which is the second option. Now, there are multiple different commercial loans, and I'm going to like fork these into two directions here that you can do. But the reality is the second home loan is a powerful tool that you can use. And the lenders, that's going to come on the part two episode. He's going to talk a lot about second home loans. He's tell you all the ins and outs, all the misconceptions with it. That's why I'm not going to dive too much into it on this episode. I do want you to listen to that one. But the most important thing though, I do want you to take away though, is that it is there and it's based off your DTI and it's a powerful way. However, once your DTI is tapped out, you can't use it anymore. Okay. Or up to 10 properties, but most people don't ever reach that point. So watch your DTI and leverage that loan. That will help you scale, okay? Because it's less cash into the deals. The more we can leverage other people's money is how we actually scale a successful STR portfolio, okay? So the end result, if we were to like kind of create a path of how to scale, if you looked at the end and you were like, what actions am I taking at the end to be able to scale? And the actions at the end that you're doing to scale from a financing standpoint, that's what we're talking about, right? Is using other people's money, okay? Not just banks, but other investors' money. So In order to scale, we have to understand the concept of using other people's money and eventually get there where we're literally family, friends, outsiders, whatever, to fund, you know, creating a fund or a syndication in order to get to this point where we're trying to scale. Now, a lot of people are like, okay, Kenny, well, I only want 5 properties or whatever. I'm just trying to scale towards a certain goal, like $250,000 a year, $500,000 a year. And that's okay. But if you're really trying to build like this amazing, awesome portfolio, understanding this concept of using other people's money is very, very important. So like that's at the end, but first we can leverage our own debt to income, or we can look at commercial offerings. In my opinion, if you're looking for your first property, now this is an opinion alert. Let's like put disclaimers, red lights and everything here. And it's not for everyone because I don't know everyone's situation, but in my opinion, getting started, you're going to get better terms if you do a second home loan, that 10% down, or it can be 15 or 20, I don't care, but that second home loan, because your interest rate's going to naturally be lower. And that's exactly what I did. But as I've gotten more properties, guess what? I go, look, my debt to income, I'm thinking about buying a bigger house, so a primary residence for myself. So my debt to income is going to be tricky there. So I'd rather buy commercial products where they don't look at my DTI. It doesn't count against my DTI, and I have it in an LLC. Okay, that gives me a little bit more protection, but now they're leveraging the income potential of the property. This is called a debt service coverage ratio loan, or you know, the acronym is DSCR, okay? Where it's a commercial loan product where you can use that to, they will take the short-term rents and put that into to see if it's viable, if it's a viable investment, meaning they'll take the rents from a short-term rental in that area and look at that property and go, yes, this property will cover the ratio. They're looking for at least a 1-to-1, meaning that whatever the mortgage payment is, it's definitely going to be covered by the short-term rents, okay? Every bank's a little bit different. They might have different, like a 70-30 with long-term rents and short-term rents or whatever to balance the risk. But the reality is that this is a powerful way to scale once we've tapped out of our DTI. But here's the thing about DSCR loans. If you're a first-time short-term rental real estate investor, you're going to have a hard time getting one because a lot of them require you to have experience. And when it comes to commercial loans, the less experience you have, the worse terms you're going to get, meaning you're going to pay a higher interest rate or you just won't qualify for the product at all. All right, DSCR loans are based upon your credit score. Right. And potentially experience. So I guess like to start out, like if you want to scale, if you want to have a successful short-term real estate portfolio, and this is kind of tie back to the beginning again, your credit is really important for really any loan that you do. Right. So credit is going to be huge. And if you have a lot of debt and you're struggling to pay off debt, scaling short-term rentals should not be your priority. It really should. If you're like, well, Kenny, I want to do it to get rid of my debt. That's not really the right mindset about having this in investing real estate. So we can use, going back to the commercial product though, we can use a commercial product as we scale, and you'll have to. Okay. That's literally like the, after you do the second home loans, that's really what you go for, commercial loans, DSCRs. And there's investment loans, which are 25% now, commonly used with long-term rentals. A lot of misconceptions around, oh, I have to use an investment loan. Sure, if it's your first one, you can do an investment loan, but it's 25% down. That's more cash out of pocket. When we're scaling, we're trying to snowball and grab momentum. So we want to put less cash into the deal so we can get more and more properties till we reach a point where we can pay down that equity faster, right? So equity pay down is huge, but we want to do that after the fact, not during in the moment, or unless we've already hit the number of properties we want to do to cash flow the right number. And we're trying to like remain stable, not scale, but stable is when we start paying extra in the monthly mortgage payments. So long story short, the financing side of scaling your short-term rental is really important. And you don't want to paint yourself into a corner, meaning you don't want to go down and build up and eat up all your DTI and then end up not being able to grow anymore. But at the same time, there are commercial products out there. So you can literally leverage both. And I recommend you do that. I'm a big proponent of going, yeah, leverage your DTI and then graduate to these commercial loans because the rates and the terms are a little bit worse, meaning like you're going to have a higher interest rate. You're going to probably have to pay a few points or a point, meaning payments to the lender for fees and things like extra fees and things like that. But they're there to help you get to the next point where you're literally using other people's money, which is kind of the ultimate goal. Essentially what you're doing when you're going to a bank, right? You're using other people's money to acquire properties and grow. And so from the financing side, my recommendations here, if you're trying to scale a successful SDR portfolio, leverage your DTI, but also explore these commercial products. And in certain deals, they're going to make sense and they're going to be the best option for you. The second biggest piece of advice I can give you when talking about scaling and this is just a personal lesson, is talk to multiple lenders, okay? You really should talk to about 3 lenders for every deal you look at. Some people say 5 or however. I mean, it's a lot of documents to get them, but at least 3 different ones. And the reason why is because they're all going to have different terms and they're all going to tell you, you know, different things. And that'll help you kind of piece together what the best options are out there. Could save you thousands of dollars, which impacts your cash flow, right? So talk to multiple lenders, leverage your DTI, consider the commercial products as the time comes. And that's how you're going to scale using financing. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. The next episode, the part 2, I've got I call him the Iron Man of SDR lending, and Mr. Brian Bockhold. So come listen to that episode, and I will see you on the next one of Cash Flow Positive.